Welcome to Pioneer Bible Church on this very special and historic day. And we want to extend a very warm welcome to you that are guests of ours from Owosso. We appreciate so very much that you made the trip over here this morning. I know it's like a couple hours and you had to get up and maybe you traveled through some fog and so forth, but you're here. And that is so meaningful, not only to Chris and his family, but to us as well. So we thank you for that. Paul wrote to the first century church in Ephesus that God has given gifted men to his church. And then he goes on to describe these gifted men in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4. This is what he writes. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers. Equipping of the saints for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, on this special morning, we have gathered for a twofold purpose, essentially. First of all, to publicly recognize God's gracious gift of a new pastor, a pastor teacher. That being, of course, Chris Terry. And along with Chris comes his lovely family. And we're so very happy as well to have with us Rebecca and Miranda and Samantha and Hadley. And then second, along with acknowledging and thanking God for this gracious new gift to our church family, we're going to formally install Chris as Pioneer Bible Church's third senior pastor in our 35-year history. Now, while there are no specific biblical instructions pertaining to the installation of a new pastor in the church, the tradition is not without biblical support, because we see in the New Testament that the early church set apart those called to the ministry of God's word through prayer and the laying on of hands. And so to follow in this biblical tradition, we want to formally install Chris Terry as our new senior pastor, the one that God has graciously given to us, sent our way. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. Well, Tim Klein, an elder in our church, is going to come now. It opened our service with a call to worship by reading Psalm 100. And then he's going to follow this up with prayer. And then afterwards, we're going to sing together, begin our time of singing together. Our first song is, O Worship the King. So as he comes, I want you to stand, remain standing for the reading of God's word and prayer. And as well through the singing of that first song. Tim, would you now lead us?
For call to worship this morning, I'll be reading from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father in heaven, what a special Sunday today is, a special day for Pioneer Bible Church, a special day for the Terry family, for the new pastor that you've brought to us. We thank you for how we've seen your faithfulness in bringing the man that you would have to shepherd this church. We pray that our hearts would be united today and in unity as we sing praises to you, and we just pray that all that's done today would be done to further your kingdom and to bring you the honor and glory that you're due. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We'll worship his holy name. I'll be reading Paul's charge to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. Verses 11 through 16. command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now I will read from 1 Peter, Peter's charge to leaders. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away.
Sweet Jesus, my Savior, you are my faithful friend. You made me, you know me.
You know, there are many adjectives that we can use to describe our Savior Jesus, and surely that is one. Sweet Jesus. Thank you for that. That was a blessing. Well, I'm happy to introduce to you a friend of Chris, and that is Terry Debit. Chris asked him to come and give him a charge, and we're going to have two charges this morning, and Terry's going to bring the charge to Chris as our new senior pastor. After retiring from 24 years in the energy industry in 2001, Terry served as counseling director at Tulsa Bible Church until the Bible Church of Owosso Church Plant began in 2007, and he's been there ever since, and he serves there as the assistant pastor. Terry has a master's degree in biblical counseling from the Master's College out in California, and he is Association of Certified Biblical Counselors certified. He and his wife Pam are married, of course, and they have two daughters. Unfortunately, Pam woke up ill this morning. She was not able to come, and I'm sorry for that. They have two daughters. They reside, Pam and Terry reside in Broken Arrow. And so they have two daughters, and I wanted to add, because I know how important this is, they also have four grandchildren. Myself having two grandchildren, you always want to emphasize that. So Terry, will you come and share your charge to our new pastor? Thank you, brother, for coming. Lord bless you.
Well, thank you for that kind introduction. I first want to commend you. You guys are a welcoming church. I felt just so welcome here this morning, and so I appreciate that. You've been very kind to me, and I have known Chris and Rebecca since 2003. And as Larry said, my wife Pam is home with flu this morning. Pam has actually known Rebecca for how long? Long time. She was one of Pam's piano students when she was a lot younger. So it's really been a joy for me to watch Chris grow, and we spent a lot of time together, talking about life together, talking about ministry together. He's a good brother, and I'm sad for the Bible Church of Owosso to see them go. But I am very, very happy for the Pioneer Bible Church. And so, Chris, I want to give you a charge this morning. I hope I can get this out. It is indeed an honor, Chris, that you have requested that I provide this personal charge to you this morning upon your installation as pastor of the Bible of Pioneer Bible Church. And it's a joy for me to know that the elders at Pioneer Bible Church have carefully interviewed you, prayerfully examined you, and affirmed your calling to this pastoral role. So my prayer this morning for you as I stand affirming their evaluation is that God would grant you, as he did with Timothy, a special gift for this task to which he's called you. If you have your Bibles, please open to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. So Chris, I want you to see, and I want you to always remember Paul's last words to Timothy before his departure from this world into heaven to be with his Lord Jesus. It is, if you will, Paul's final charge to Timothy. And so may these words also fill your heart and inform your ministry as you serve your Lord Jesus. Paul says this to Timothy, "But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." It's important that you understand and practice every single word of that charge. But this morning I want to focus on that last phrase, fulfill your ministry. Chris, Pioneer Bible Church, like all the other Bible-believing, gospel-believing churches, is the bride of Christ. And now Jesus has entrusted the care of his bride to you and the elders until he comes to receive her to himself. As his bride, this church is precious to him. I know you know that. He purchased her with his own blood. He delights in her and has called you to delight in her as well. He has entrusted to you a ministry to her, and he calls you to fulfill your ministry. Since this church is precious to him, how should you think of her, treat her, care for her, and speak to her? I'm sure that you know the answer to that. You should think, treat, care for her, and speak to her with the love that Jesus has for her. Perhaps the best summary of your ministry to her is found in Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 27. Would you open there? Ephesians 5, verse 25. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when Paul urges husbands to love their wives, he pointed to Jesus himself as the example of what that love should look like. He wrote this, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." So Chris, in order to fulfill your ministry to Pioneer Bible Church, and to your Lord, your greatest task and calling is to love the church in the same way that Jesus did. You're to follow his example. He gave himself up for her. He sacrificially loved her at the cost of his life. So your life, Chris, is to be given up for Jesus' church. And your life is to be given up for her for the same reason that Jesus gave up his life, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So, Chris, this means that the primary focus of your ministry at Pioneer Bible Church is not on the people outside the church. The primary focus of your ministry is the people inside the church. Your task is not primarily to preach to unbelievers who come to the church, though you should. Your ministry is to the bride of Jesus, his church. Jesus has given you a ministry of sanctifying and protecting his bride until he comes. So fulfill your ministry. Jesus' greatest desire is that his bride be conformed to his likeness, to be like him, to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, and with all their mind. and to love others as they love themselves. And to treasure him, and to treasure him as much as he treasures them. How is the bride sanctified? How is she made into his likeness? I know that you remember Jesus' prayer to his Father and to our Father in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So Chris, to fulfill your ministry, you must preach and teach and model and treasure the word of God. As Paul told the Corinthians, you are to preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. That is, you must preach the good news of Jesus Christ. You must explain why Jesus is good news for conversion. But don't stop there. You must explain why and how Jesus is good news for their marriages, for their parenting, their family life, their work, their evangelism, their entire lives. And then teach and explain that wonderful news again. Because if you give her anything other than Jesus, you risk defiling her, leading her astray, or letting her be led astray. So, Chris, I give you this charge. Give your people Jesus. Then give them more of Jesus. And never stop giving them Jesus. Because they're not going to be like him unless they really understand him and know him. Teach them how much Jesus loves his bride. And in doing so, you will teach her how to love him. For that reason, Chris, you must not preach yourself, but Christ Jesus is Lord. Resist the temptation to make a name for yourself. Proclaim his glorious name. Seek to make his name great in their eyes. Be careful not to call them to follow you unless it leads them to follow Christ. Never distract them from their bridegroom. Always and only point them to Jesus. Jesus' bride belongs to him, and he has given you both the authority and the privilege to tell them how glorious he is. That is how you will sanctify them. Only his gospel has the power of God to justify, sanctify, and glorify the sinners for whom he died. And because you have no power to change anyone, Chris, you must trust the Holy Spirit to change them. So my first charge is to fulfill your ministry of sanctifying the church by proclaiming Jesus and him crucified. And second, I charge you to fulfill your ministry with joy and expectation. Why? Because your ministry has a glorious purpose and outcome. There's a joy-filled wedding coming soon. Look at verse 27. Jesus is going to present Pioneer Bible Church to himself as his bride. And you have been given a privileged ministry to fulfill. Jesus wants his bride to be ready for that wedding with no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. And so fulfill your ministry with joyful and expectant hope. Chris, by faithfully preaching and joyfully teaching the word of God to Jesus' bride, you will do that. Prepare Pioneer Bible Church for that glorious wedding day. Of course, your role as pastor and shepherd to Pioneer Bible Church is not the only ministry you must fulfill. You have a ministry as a husband to Rebecca. Just as Paul made clear in this text, you must fulfill that ministry too. Also, by giving your life so that she too is sanctified unto likeness to Jesus. She too is a part of the bride of Christ. She too is going to be presented to Jesus at the coming wedding supper of the Lamb. So, Chris, you must continually grow in your love for her by observing and modeling Jesus' perfect love for her. And, Chris, you are married to Rebecca. You are not married to the church. You are in a one-flesh relationship with Rebecca, not with the church. Rebecca should know even more fully how you are devoted to her as you are to serving the church, simply because she is your wife, as well as part of his bride. So Rebecca needs your devotion, your protection, your servant leadership, and shepherding as much as the church does. Like Jesus, give up your life so that you can love your wife as he loves his church. Love her, Chris, and never be embittered against her. Fulfill your ministry to her, too, for her joy on the day that she is with her bridegroom, Jesus. And of course, you know that you have a ministry to fulfill with your children that God has entrusted to you, Miranda, Samantha, and Hadley. Will, by God's grace, also be part of that bride presented to Jesus. So proclaim the good news to them. Live the good news before them. They need your love and devotion, your example and protection as you bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Train them in the way they should go, not in the way they would go without your training. Exhort, encourage, and implore them to know, love, and follow the Lord Jesus, and be tender, affectionate, and patient with them as they grow, knowing how tender, affectionate, and patient Jesus is with us. Train them in the Bible. Train them in prayer. Train them in understanding their need of grace, and train them in the habit of faith. Train them in obedience, and train them in speaking the truth. Warn them of their adversaries, Satan, the world, and their own flesh, and how to recognize their influence upon their hearts. But most of all, train them in the gospel. Teach them Jesus. Seek to introduce them to him and how to hear him as he speaks through his word. Fulfill that ministry too, which God has entrusted to you. And you know, Chris, that you will have opposition along the way. Satan and the world system are aligned against Jesus and his bride. So don't be surprised by the opposition when it comes. Don't be discouraged when it comes. Don't be fearful when it comes. And don't be sinfully angry when it comes. Instead, fix it in your mind and always remember Peter's great confession to Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And especially remember Jesus' response to that confession. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Chris, your strength going forward must be based in your confidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that Pioneer Bible Church is Jesus' church, and that Jesus has promises to you, I will build my church. Jesus is the builder. You've been given a stewardship to play, a part in the work of the building of this church. But always remember that Jesus is building his church through you. When Jesus says, I will build my church, that's a statement of his sovereign purpose, and nothing can thwart his plan. I hope that gives you encouragement and hope. He says the gates of hell will not overpower it. So when the opposition comes, don't be surprised, don't be discouraged, don't be fearful, don't be angry. Instead, remember Jesus Christ and him crucified. Remember Jesus raised from the dead. Remember Jesus reigning at the right hand of God. Remember that he is above all rule and authority and power and dominion, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And remember that all things are in subjection under his feet, that he is head over all things to the church. And remember that the church is his body. Jesus is watching over, building, and securing Pioneer Bible Church. Trust him to do so through you by simply fulfilling your ministry. That is your role. And you know it's not going to be an easy task. The world is a dark place. There are many enemies against your faith and that of your people. Temptations to compromise and sin are everywhere. Temptations to quit, to abandon the ministry, to not fulfill your ministry. You and your people still fight against pride and prejudice, bitterness and blame, laziness and lust, apathy and resentment, doubt and deceit. But all these are enemies that Jesus has defeated at the cross. Whatever delivers us from these, what is it that delivers us from all these and all the other enemies? The good news of Jesus Christ alone is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So I'll say it again. Remember Jesus, and then preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, and then preach him again. That is the ministry you must fulfill. Finally, Chris, one last charge. Turn to John 15, verse 4. John 15, verse 4. You have no capacity. You have no capacity to do any of this. You personally cannot fulfill your ministry. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Oh, but brother, when Jesus is your life, as his words govern you, you will bear much fruit. So your hope and strength for fulfilling your ministry comes from abiding in him. Listen to Jesus' words to those men who would become his apostles. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Look at verse 7 especially. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So Chris, in the presence of these leaders and all those at Pioneer Bible Church, I charge you in the name of Jesus to abide in him, to receive and live by his life-giving words, so that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ may shine in your life and in this church and in this community. May Jesus Christ himself grant you all that you need in every way to fulfill your ministry of faithfully proclaiming his message, faithfully serving him as your master, faithfully preparing his bride for the marriage supper of the Lamb, and faithfully leading and loving your family, all for the glory of God and for the eternal good of you, your family, and Pioneer Bible Church. Amen.
I want to thank Terry for his charge to Chris as our new pastor. To be honest, as he was speaking, my mind was going back some 30 years. Not in this building, but two streets over in the building that we occupied, that we rented for a few years, when a dear friend from the Salina Bible Church up in Salina, Kansas, where I served, previous to coming here, came to our church 30 years ago and gave to me a charge. And kind of got my blood rolling again, you know, just, it's great. And let me say as well here, I too can identify with Terry and the emotion that he is feeling this morning of a dear friend and what that means for him. And I have a lot of emotion going on inside of me right now. Because I knew this day was coming, and I knew this would make it official. It's been official for weeks now, of course. But this is a big step for our church, a very big step. And I just want to say again publicly that I commend Chris for his willingness to come to our church. God is calling him. That's why he's here. God is calling him to come here and to pick up the ministry and to carry it on now for the years to come. But not every young man would be willing to come to a church where the previous pastor is remaining. And that takes a lot of courage. And yet, I see in him that desire to be obedient to the Lord no matter what. And furthermore, his willingness to take advantage of the time that I'm going to be around to help him transition to that particular role. I've already benefited from his ministry. I don't know about you, but these last 2 weeks, I've been sitting out in the audience like you all, listening to him, and I'm thinking, what a great preacher. I mean, this is wonderful. And I've already been challenged by what he has said from Psalm 3. And he's preached 2 weeks from Psalm 3, and both times they were just packed full of truth. And I'm thinking, this is good. And this is just the beginning of it. And so I'm grateful for your willingness to do so. Chris. Well, it's now my responsibility to give a charge to you, Paul, the Pioneer Bible Church, you that call this your home church. You know, some of you might be wondering, what in the world is a charge? Most dictionaries give numerous definitions to this particular word, and I just want you to relax this morning. I'm not going to zap you with electricity. I'm not going to accuse you of a crime. I'm not going to lead you into battle. I'm not going to ask you for money, but if you want to give me some, that's okay. I'd be happy to receive it. Instead, the kind of charge that I'm going to give you this morning is one that instructs you as to your God-given responsibilities toward Chris Terry as our new senior pastor of the Pioneer Bible Church. You see, the relationship between a congregation and its pastor is a unique and special one. You know, as I mentioned at the very beginning of this service, God has given gifted men to the church. And one of those gifted men is that of pastor teacher. He is our pastor teacher now. And with the giving of this gracious gift from God comes great responsibility on our part. So with this in mind, let me take you to the passage that best summarizes, I believe, what our primary responsibility should be toward Chris. It is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Now, if these verses sound familiar, they are, because they are part of a passage that I dealt with at the very end of my ministry last month. I want to return to them again this morning because of their importance to this particular occasion. But this time I want to read them with some minor changes, so please allow me that. I realize God's word is inspired, and who am I to, you know, change it around a little bit, but I'm going to do it, and I think you'll understand why. And here's what Paul writes in these two verses concerning our responsibility to our new senior pastor. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12. But I request of you, Pioneer Bible Church, that you appreciate Chris Terry, who diligently labors among you and has charge over you in the Lord and gives you instruction. The word appreciate means to know someone so intimately that it leads to a deep appreciation for that person. Let's read on into verse 13. And that you esteem Chris Terry very highly in love because of his work. Doing so will result in you living in peace with one another. The word esteem means to respect, to regard, to think highly of someone. So here's my charge. I charge you, Pioneer Bible Church, to appreciate intimately and esteem highly Chris Terry because of his work as senior pastor. That's my charge to you this morning. Now, how do we make this happen? What does this look like? Let me suggest four practical things you can do to show your appreciation and esteem for our new pastor. First of all, Pioneer Bible Church, you fulfill your God-given charge to appreciate intimately and esteem highly Pastor Chris by praying for him regularly. Praying for him regularly. Have you ever noticed in the reading of Paul's New Testament letters how he did not hesitate to ask prayer for himself? We see that frequently throughout his letters. He was asking people to pray for him all the time. That's because he knew firsthand how important and necessary prayer was to his success as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For example, we read this in Ephesians chapter 6, and you might want to turn there just to look at these verses because I think they're important. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, we read that Paul asked prayer for boldness to share the gospel. This is what he writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so he asked prayer for himself to have boldness, to be able to share the gospel. And then on another occasion, and you can turn here as well, we read in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, that Paul asked prayer for God-given opportunities to proclaim the gospel. And then once they came, that he would be able to proclaim the gospel clearly. Isn't it interesting that Paul asked prayer that he would be able to communicate the gospel clearly? You would think if anybody could explain it clearly, proclaim it clearly, it would be Paul. But he was human. So he asked prayer for that. Notice what he says there in Colossians 4, 3 and 4. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God would open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. So, for similar things, we are to be praying for Pastor Chris. Pray that he would be bold and not afraid as he proclaims the gospel, and that God would open doors for him to do so. And when those doors were open, that he would walk through them by faith, and that he would proclaim the gospel with great clarity. We are to be praying for him to be doing these things. Of course, there are many other things to be praying for as well. For one thing, while this is a big change for our church, remember this is equally a big change for Chris and Rebecca and the girls. They're moving to a new city and are having to establish new relationships. So we need to pray for them and the adjustments that they will face in the weeks and months ahead. Pray too for Pastor Chris as he prepares the message and preaches it weekly. And along with that, pray for your own heart to be receptive to what God lays on his heart on a weekly basis. You know, unfortunately, many of us fail in this respect. In his book, Preaching That Changes Lives, Michael Fabares writes, and I quote, "Most people do not prepare in any significant way for church. In an average church, fewer than half of the worshipers pray for their encounter with the sermon. Less than a third pray for their pastor or his preparation. Even when the passage is clearly announced the previous week, only 1 in 5 people will take the time to read it before coming to church." So pray for Pastor Chris's sermon preparation and your own heart preparation to receive what Chris will be delivering to us throughout his ministry. Finally, let me encourage you to pray regularly for Pastor Chris's spiritual and physical and emotional health, for the strength of his marriage to Rebecca, for his wisdom in parenting his 3 daughters, and he's going to need a lot because I have 3 daughters. I know what's facing him. So pray for him in that respect. And pray as well for godly insight as he leads our church into the future. Ian Murray writes in his book, The Forgotten Spurgeon, that on one of his visits to the States, Charles Spurgeon met with an American minister who said this, and I quote now from the book, "I have long wished to see you, Mr. Spurgeon, and to put 1 or 2 simple questions to you. In our country, there are many opinions as to the secret of your great influence. Would you be good enough to give me your own point of view?" After a moment's pause, Spurgeon replied, "My people pray for me." Wouldn't it be wonderful that in response to our collective prayers for our new pastor, that God would bless him with Spurgeon's power in preaching? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, that's not impossible. That's not impossible because, as I have quoted many times over the years, Peter Dynica, the founder, he's now with the Lord, the founder of the Slavic Gospel Association, used to say this: much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. So pray regularly for Pastor Chris. And you know, and not just that generic prayer that sometimes we do. You know, "Thank you, God, for my family and friends, and bless them." And, "Oh yeah, Pastor Chris too." No, do much more than that. pray for him as he will undoubtedly be praying for us. Second of all, Pioneer Bible Church, you fulfill your God-given charge to appreciate intimately and esteem highly Pastor Chris by encouraging him personally. Encouraging him personally. Let me remind you that being a pastor is no easy task. I know because I speak from experience. 30 years experience as your former pastor. Even though you may see your pastor only, you know, a few hours on Sunday, he's doing many things throughout the week because there are many things that need to be done. These days, a pastor must have some understanding of administration, finance, social media, cultural trends, local news, national news, sports, politics, social issues, theological trends. Plus, a pastor needs to have a working knowledge of other subjects, such as history and literature and science. And as we were just reminded of shortly ago by Terry, above all else, a pastor must be a man of the Word. He must know the Word, love the Word, and immerse himself in the Word so that when he stands behind the pulpit on Sunday morning, he has a message from God that he's giving God's people. Let me add something here of importance. I was thinking about this past week. Pastor Chris's job is not to make us happy or feel good about ourselves. His job is to be our shepherd. And as such, he is to herd us toward Jesus Christ. That's his job. And to make this happen, he will need to poke and prod and sometimes say things that will make us feel uncomfortable. Or challenge us, you know, to step outside of our comfort zone. But that's the job of one called to this position that he is now occupying. The position of pastor. That's the job of one called to preach God's word. So pastors have a lot on their plate. They're basically on call 24/7 with the expectation that they need to be available always. To minister no matter what they have personally going on in their lives. And let me remind you as well, and we better not forget this, and I think it was brought out so very clearly by Terry, that the pastor has a home life too. He's got to give attention to that. That's got to be a priority in his life. But again, he does that along with his pastoral responsibilities. Now, because of the pastor's unique job, this makes it very challenging at times because pastors are mere men. They're prone to fatigue and discouragement and temptation in their spiritual walk, just like everyone else. Yet they're called to minister week in and week out. And this is where encouragement comes in. Pastors need encouragers, both with their words as well as their actions. So if you want to be a blessing to Pastor Chris, make an effort to encourage him personally. One way you can do this is by taking the time on Sunday to thank him for his preaching. You know, you don't realize how uplifting this is to a pastor after spending hours and hours preparing a sermon to deliver on a Sunday morning. And just a thank you goes a long ways often. Another way you can encourage him is by writing a thank you note or sending him an email message. You know, pastors love to hear personal stories sharing ways something they had taught or said has helped someone in their faith. These kinds of stories give them spiritual and emotional energy and motivation to keep going when they are discouraged. And then here's a third way you can encourage Pastor Chris. By working alongside him to fulfill the ministry of our church. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he draws attention to several individuals who assisted him in the ministry. First, he said in chapter 2 and verse 22 concerning Timothy, and I'll read this, "But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father." Paul was thankful. He was encouraged by that, that Timothy was right there. And then in the midst of calling out two women in the church in Philippi to live in harmony, Paul makes this comment that you read of in verse 3 of chapter 4 of Philippians. Indeed, true companions, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Yes, Paul was very, very thankful for those who worked alongside him to fulfill the ministry. And that is because he knew he could not do it alone. God's work demands the collective effort of God's people. God never designed ministry to be a one-man show. It is to be a team effort. You know, it makes me think of that event in the Old Testament when Amalek attacked Israel. We read of this in Exodus chapter 17. And we read there that as long as Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed in battle. But when his hands were dropped, guess what? Amalek prevailed. Do you remember what happened next? First of all, they got him a stone to sit on because it was tiring to be standing there for hours on end looking at this battle. And then Aaron and Hur came alongside Moses and supported his hands until the victory was won by Israel. You know, this is a visible picture of what we are to be doing with Pastor Chris. We are to come alongside of him and, if need be, hold him up. Be right there to hold him up in order that we would complete the work that God has called this church to do. So through thoughtful words and actions, and I might add, along with faithful attendance and participation in what we have to offer here at Pioneer Bible Church, your new pastor will be very much encouraged and strengthened for the work ahead of him. So make encouraging Pastor Chris a priority in your relationship with him. Third, Pioneer Bible Church, you fulfill your God-given charge to appreciate intimately and esteem highly Pastor Chris by following him willingly. Follow him willingly. The New Testament is pretty clear about God's people following their leaders willingly. And the key passage that teaches this is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. And I do want you to look at this verse, so turn there for a moment, please. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. It begins this way. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Seems pretty clear, doesn't it? Obey your leaders and submit to them means exactly that. The difference, if any, between the two words is that obey implies following directions or commands, whereas submit involves an attitude. You see, you can obey outwardly, but inwardly be rebellious, right? We've seen that with our kids on occasion, right? When they're growing up. Now, they'll do that, but inside, they're rebellious. Well, in that case, you are not really submitting. Godly submission to your pastor implies a willing spirit. That is, you must trust that Pastor Chris has your best interests at heart, and therefore you willingly follow his leadership. Now, what follows in verse 17 is the author stating why it's important for us to obey and submit to Pastor Chris's leadership. Is because if you cause him grief by resisting his leadership, guess what? You ultimately cause yourself grief. Look at verse 17 one more time. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who would give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for whom? For you, the one that's living in rebellion. Commenting on this, Dr. Warren Wiersbe writes the following. One day, every pastor will have to give an account of his ministry to the Lord, and he wants to be able to do it with joy. A disobedient Christian will find on that day that the results of disobedience are unprofitable, not for the pastor, but for himself. So it's very important for each of us to trust Pastor Chris's vision and leadership and follow him willingly. You know, God has led him down a particular path of training and ministry and testing to be uniquely prepared for this role that he now occupies. And like any pastor, he has big dreams for us as a church, not the least of which is that he wants us to live out our primary purpose, which again is to think biblically, to live godly, and to serve practically like Jesus. That's what he wants to do ultimately. Yes, his vision and style of leadership may be different from mine as your former pastor, but that's okay. What's important is that we all understand that there will be change, and this is to be expected. There's always change with new leadership, always change, and we shouldn't fear it as a church. So keep an open mind and remember this question when change happens. Does this change enhance our ability to do ministry? Or the goal of it, is it to lead us closer in our relationship with Jesus Christ? And if the answer is yes, then let's embrace it. Let's embrace it. So I encourage you to follow Pastor Chris willingly. To quote Dr. Wiersbe one more time, he said this, "When a servant of God is in the will of God, teaching the word of God, the people of God should submit and obey." Fourth and finally, Pioneer Bible Church, you fulfill your God-given charge to appreciate intimately and esteem highly Pastor Chris by loving him unconditionally. Love him unconditionally. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, remember this one. Love your pastor unconditionally. You know, today you know him a little bit. You know him a little bit. He's been here for a few weeks. Tomorrow you'll know him better, especially after tonight's church celebration dinner, so you guys be prepared. Before long, he will be a dear friend to you. And as time passes, he will become as precious to you as family. Sure, there'll be ups and downs in the relationship, but that's okay because as God's people and their pastor are committed to one another in good times as well as bad times, in times of joy as well as in times of pain and sorrow, the end result will be a relationship that continues to grow and a love that continues to deepen into a beautiful thing. As someone has rightly observed, a church you love with a pastor you equally love is a gift that's irreplaceable. Oh, how true that is. Now, what are some practical ways you can show your unconditional love to Pastor Chris? Let me suggest three things. First of all, love his wife. Love his wife, Rebecca. You know, few things will encourage Pastor Chris more than you to love the person that he loves most in this world, next to Jesus Christ, his wife. So ladies, reach out to her. Become her friend. Include her in your group friend activities. Also, don't place unspoken expectations on her to perform particular ministries. Instead, let her find her place where she is comfortable and where God has gifted her. And then finally, pray regularly for her because she is the one that's going to help carry Chris's load. And also, she is the one who will have his ear. And so ask God to give her wisdom in the counsel that she is offering her husband. So the first way you can show your unconditional love for Pastor Chris is by loving his wife, Rebecca. You know, many a pastor has left a church because his spouse didn't feel that love. Second, love his children. Love his children, Miranda and Sam and Hadley. Now, how do you do this? Well, accept them into our church family with open arms, and I think that's already been accomplished. You know, we've been around these girls now for a number of weeks, and they are so very precious, so easy to love. So accept them. Also, pray for them and the relationship with the Lord. They need to come to know the Lord as we all do, and that's the desire of every parent here, that our kids know the Lord and are walking with the Lord. And then when they fail, which PKs are sometimes prone to do, don't judge them or hold them to a higher standard. Instead, reach out to them and communicate your unconditional acceptance and love for them. And then pray doubly for your pastor. Pray doubly for him when these times come. because nothing sucks the wind out of a pastor's sails than when his children are not walking in fellowship with the Lord. And then third and finally, commit now to love Pastor Chris for the long haul. You know, there are many, many benefits to a long-term pastorate. Many benefits. One is continuity. You know, what could be better for church and pastor than to have, you know, a spiritual leader around to dedicate, you know, newborn babies that come into the world? And then to see those same babies begin to grow and become children and see them come to know Jesus Christ and then have the joy of baptizing those same kids that you know, dedicated years earlier. And then to be there to watch them continue to grow and to become teenagers and they graduate from high school and they go off to college and they earn a degree and they find, you know, their future spouse there. And they come back to the church and then you have the joy of officiating at their wedding. All those years have passed and you're there throughout all of those times. Oh, my friends, only churches that support long-term pastorates afford a pastor this unparalleled privilege, one that I can testify myself to personally. Another benefit is the attainment of long-range spiritual goals. You know, spiritual growth doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes time for vision and goals to reach fruition. And again, only long-term pastorates make this sort of thing happen. I could add more, but time prevents me. Now let me give you two keys to loving Pastor Chris for the long haul. One is you will need to be patient and understanding with him. Be patient with him and understanding. You know, don't expect him to be perfect because he will be the very first person to admit that he is not perfect. Yet, as an imperfect person, he's still unique with his own distinct personality and gifts and talents that God wants to use in our church. That's why God brought him here. God already knows what Chris and Rebecca and their family are going to offer us, and he, in his grace and mercy, brought him here and confirmed in Chris's heart that call to come here. It's not an easy thing to do to move, to leave, you know, ministry where he was living in Owosso and to come here to Ponca City. And yet God called him to do that. And I think part of that call is because of God working in his heart to lead him here because God knows exactly what we need as a church. So remember that. So don't put him in a box and expect him to be a duplicate of me because you don't want that. You don't want that. God has him to be here for a particular reason, and with that comes a different personality and gifts and talent that we need to take advantage of. And then secondly, when misunderstandings happen, and they will, be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. You know, a good verse to keep in mind here is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7, where Paul writes this, that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So wise is the church that is committed to loving their pastor for a long haul. And may this be part of our ongoing commitment as a church to loving Chris unconditionally. So to wrap this up now, and I've used up enough of my time, Pioneer Bible Church, your charge is to appreciate intimately and esteem highly Pastor Chris. We read of this in 1 Thessalonians. And the way you fulfill this charge is by praying for him regularly, encouraging him personally, following him willingly, and loving him unconditionally. I want to congratulate you as a church for your choice of Chris. God has honored our trust and faith throughout this last year and our hard work to find him. And I believe that nothing but good days are ahead for us as a church. And so may the Lord bless this union for years to come. We're going to sing now together. And as we do so, as the worship team comes, we're going to sing a hymn of praise. Is that right? Am I all out of order here? No, I'm completely out of order. I was ready to wrap it up. I'm ready to go here. Danny, I am so sorry. I didn't realize what I was doing there. Okay. We have some very important questions. How could I overlook this? Thank you, Dan.
Chris, you see, as senior pastor, mistakes are made from time to time. But as a congregation, we lovingly overlook those and continue on. Chris, would you join me up here, please? So, Chris, there are some questions that I want to ask of you regarding your commitment to lead Pioneer Bible Church in the future. First question is, are you now willing to take lead of this congregation, the Pioneer Bible Church, as their senior pastor, committing yourself to your new role and responsibility?
I am.
Will you endeavor to faithfully discharge the duties of a pastor to this congregation by loving, serving, and praying for God's people?
I am.
Will you also be diligent in the study of God's word and, with the assistance of the grace of God, seek always to preach and teach the scriptures to the best of your ability?
I will.
Will you seek to lead this congregation by your own godly example of faithful witness, loving service, and holy living?
I will.
Thank you.
We also have a few questions for the people of Pioneer Bible Church. And please indicate your positive response to these by responding, "We do." Do you, the people of Pioneer Bible Church, remain steadfast in your readiness to receive Chris Terry as your senior pastor? Do you promise to receive the word of truth from his mouth with meekness and love, and to submit to him in the due exercise of his pastoral responsibilities? Do you promise to encourage him in his labors for your instruction and spiritual edification, and to assist his endeavors to fulfill the ministry of our church? And do you promise to pray for him regularly, that God would bless him with an abundance of faith, hope, love, joy, peace, and power?
It is with great joy that I now pronounce and declare that Chris Terry is formally installed as senior pastor of Pioneer Bible Church, located here in Ponca City, Oklahoma, and that as such, he is entitled to all support, encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Now we sing. So let's stand and we'll sing together, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." At this time, we want to follow the tradition that we read of in the New Testament, in which the elders of the local church would pray over and lay hands on the one chosen to do the ministry that God had called them to do. So I'm going to ask the elders to come forward. Chris and Terry, would you come please too? We're going to do it right here. Would you pray with us as we are praying? We'll start with Tim and just pray around, and then I will close that.
Our Heavenly Father, what a blessing this service has been this morning. And we finished with the song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And we've seen that most certainly this morning and over the past months and years as we prayed for and looked forward to the man that you would have to be our pastor, and he's here today. And we're so thankful and blessed to install Pastor Chris today. Father, we've seen, in even just a short time, we've seen his desire and his dedication to your word and to live a life and to fulfill the role of pastor in a biblical way. Father, we know this can't be done fully without the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, and that's what we pray for today. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be empowering him in all that he does in his ministry, that he would persevere, that he would be faithful to the ministry in good times and in difficult times as well. Father, I also would pray by your power he would leave a holy life as an example, as a leader here, be an example to our church of a man who lives a life that is holy and leads us by example. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for your blessing of bringing Chris and Rebecca and the girls to us. We thank you for the preparation in his life up to this point, for your direction and for your care, for your instruction. Pray for Chris that he would be bold, as we've been reminded this morning, bold in proclaiming your word. That he would be one who is seeking to guide the Pioneer Bible Church in your precepts and how you desire us to be as a congregation in this particular community. Pray for Chris, pray for his protection. Pray for just for his being open to the truth of your word. I pray for the instruction of your word that will be evident to him what is needed by us as a congregation. I thank you for his desire to follow you and to prepare for the ministry and for his diligence and all that has taken to come to this point that you have brought him in his life. Thank you for that, and we look forward to his leadership and his life among us and leading us as Pioneer Bible Church. For in Jesus' name I pray.
Father God, we thank you that you have brought Chris and his family here to Pioneer Bible Church to lead and direct the ministry. And we pray that you would empower him to fulfill the charges that have been given to him in leading this ministry and in leading his family. Lord, that he might preach the word faithfully and accurately and with power. Lord, that you'd enable him to fulfill his ministry to each one in the congregation and especially to his family. Lord, that he might lead them as a godly husband and father, and that you would bless that family in their ministry here. Lord, we pray that you would protect them from temptation, protect them from influences from the world and from the evil one, and that you would grant them a long ministry here and one that brings joy to them and to us as well. Lord, we lift this up in Jesus' name.
Father, I'm thankful for your work of grace in my brother and friend's life, bringing him to faith, setting him apart for your purposes, providing him a godly wife and a quiver full of children. Lord, he's going to need your wisdom to lead and direct and guide and instruct your people. And so I pray that just as you did for Solomon, that you would bestow on him wisdom that can only be described as heaven sent,
and powerful and loving and gracious. Would you fill him with that, Lord, so that he can lead your church well? Would you provide him with a vision of Jesus Christ that transforms his life and ministry and thinking and everything else that he does so that he can bestow what he learns from you on this church? Lord, you use instruments like this. And so I pray that you would keep, as been prayed already, pray that you keep this man holy, set apart, fully surrendered to you and your will, able to receive wisdom from others, but also able to lead in a way that is right and best. So we commit him to you, Lord, in the word of your grace. Would you build him up and strengthen him, give him an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the gift of this new pastor-teacher that you brought to Pioneer Bible Church. We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers that have been ongoing now, at least on our part as elders for some time now. And Father, thank you for responding as well to my wife's and myself's prayer to bring the right family here, the right man here to Pioneer Bible Church to continue on the ministry that you have privileged me to have now for these years. Father, I pray that you will just fill Chris's heart full of love for you first and foremost. Lord, that he would desire you above everything else in this world. Lord, that he would love your word, your worth, your worship, all those things, Lord, that you love. I pray, too, that you would place in his heart a love for your people, these people here at Pioneer Bible Church, that he would bond with them quickly and that he would recognize their value and they, likewise, his value, and that there be a oneness there, Lord, that will be evident to all who see it. I pray, Father, that he would love the lost around here in Ponca City, that you will allow him to have a powerful ministry to reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you indeed would open up doors of opportunity for him, Lord, and that by faith he would walk through them and proclaim boldly and clearly your gospel so that souls will be saved. And the end result is that this church is built up numerically as well as spiritually. Father, I pray that you fill his mind full of truth. Lord, that as he studies the word of God, that you will just illumine the word to his heart and mind. And Lord, that as he sees you at work here, that he'll be able to come each Sunday and share things with us that will just challenge us and grip us and change us ultimately to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And then, Father, I pray too that you bless his lips and that he would speak forth your truth with power. And Lord, that you will give him wisdom, has already been prayed, wisdom in what he says, Lord, publicly as he preaches, privately as he speaks to the people, counsels them, just is around them. Oh God, may he be a great blessing in that regard. So we thank you. Thank you for Chris. Thank you for Rebecca. Thank you for the girls, Lord. Thank you for bringing them here. And we look forward to what you have in store for us as a church. And I pray, God, that this will be just the beginning of many wonderful, blessed days in which we sense your presence and your power and your work in our midst. For we pray this in Jesus' name now. Amen. Amen.
Well, I know the bulletin says closing comments, but I think that was supposed to say closing sermon. But just to see how much the love goes here. So, but no, I just want to take a few minutes to thank all of you for being here this morning. But it is an honor, as I said, and I reflected on what has transpired in our life over the last year, and just to see how the Lord has worked and brought us here is just remarkable to see his hand. And I'm thankful for my supporting family. They have been very supportive of us and me, and Rebecca has just been a godsend. Thankful for so many of our friends that have come here from Owosso today. It's been a blessing to us over the years. And Terry, I remember sitting there this morning, I remember the first time we went to have lunch together, and been a lot of lunches and breakfasts and special meetings and overnight adventures and all kinds of other things over the years, and I'm very, very grateful and thankful for your friendship and your counsel. And Larry, you said that I was to be commended for coming, but really you are to be commended for staying and be willing to work alongside. And I am privileged, sincerely privileged, to have you here, and the church is blessed that we have that opportunity and have that privilege to work together as the Lord leads and allows. And so I'm thankful for that. And so let's stand and close in a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful that you are a great and wonderful God, that you love your people, that you care for them, and that you orchestrate the lives of each one of us to accomplish your plan for us, and that you allow us to be part of your work here on this earth. And not only do you allow us to be a part of your work here on this earth, but you equip us to do your work, and so that all in all things you will receive the glory and honor, and we get to reap the joys of that labor, and we get to reap the rewards that come with that. And so, Lord, we're thankful, and I just pray, Lord, that I would be a faithful shepherd to these people, and that I would be just a small portion of the pasture that they've had for several years. And it is just very evident to me, it is evident to those that I speak with and talk to, that of the faithfulness that has been shown by Larry and Diane over the years. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. I'm thankful that you are keeping them here for a period of time as you see fit, and thankful for his friendship already and the wisdom that he has given and the counsel he has given. And I'm just so thankful for that opportunity, and just pray that you would continue to strengthen that friendship and strengthen that relationship between us, and that as we shared in the elder meeting a few weeks back, that it's not that we are splitting the work, it's now that we are able to do more of the ministry for the church here. And so I'm thankful for that opportunity and that privilege. I know you have left him here because I need that, and I thank you for that. And so, Lord, I just pray that we as a church, as has been mentioned this morning, would be faithful to obey you in all things, that we'd be faithful to your word, that your word would always be the authority in our lives, would always be the authority in this church, and that, as Terry mentioned, that Christ would always be proclaimed, Christ would always be manifested, and Christ would always be glorified in all that is done. And so, Lord, we're thankful that you allow us to do that. And we look forward to the day when we can spend eternity with you. Oh, glorious day that will be. So, Lord, we're thankful again. We just pray that in all things today you would receive the glory and honor. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
A quick announcement. We are going to have a reception downstairs for the Terry family, so we're going to allow them to go down right now so they can get some pictures. And so everybody is welcome to move downstairs. We have some cake and punch downstairs. And then I remind our people about tonight, the church celebration dinner. We're going to continue the celebration of today by honoring that family. And so that starts at 6 o'clock. So be there by 6 o'clock and be ready for a great, fun evening together. So, I think they went downstairs. You're now dismissed.